the Golf Podcast, presented by Golficity, where we bring you the tips, instruction, and support you need to get the most out of your golf game. And now your hosts, Frank and Mike.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of the Golf Podcast. We're up to episode number 233, and we got a ton of stuff going on right now at Golficity. If you missed last week's episode, we talked about how to stick your wedge shots closer. Great, you know, little tips and different things that you can do if you want to start shaving strokes by giving yourself a better chance at making some more putts by just getting a little bit tighter to the pin. And this week we're going to talk about, you know, it may seem like kind of like a simple topic, but it's something that's widely overlooked. It's important. We're going to talk about how to keep your clubs clean. It's something I used to do obsessively and then I got away from it. So I'm happy to dive back into this one. But first I want to talk about this week's sponsor, Peter Millar. These guys are all about quality, value, style, and comfort. The Peter Millar 5-pocket pant are lightweight. They're highly breathable and they're made from the highest quality Pima cotton. They fit like your favorite pair of jeans, but they're in a style that you can wear anywhere. And Peter Millar performance shorts, they're moisture wicking, they're breathable, they're quick drying, and they've got that stretch waistband. It just moves with you. Very comfortable stuff. So head over to petermillar.com/golf to check out some of my personal favorites, and you can receive complimentary shipping and even a free hat. That's Peter Millar, MILLAR.com/golf, petermillar.com/golf. Mike, in a minute, I want to recap the top score in our second annual virtual Open. But what else has happened? It's crazy. I mean, I saw you were at Ridgewood all day. I was stuck in the office, but it looked like you were having a blast.
Dude, I am having a blast at the Northern Trust Open. But before I talk about that, last week, this is almost a week ago already. Yeah. You and I caught up with Eric Anders Lang to have an awesome kind of just hangout session, really is what I call it, where we recorded a podcast episode, which will come out soon. So that was fun. A lot of cool stuff. We did a video that came out on YouTube. Man, that was great. Don't want to talk too much about it because we're going to do the whole episode on him. So check that out next week. But yes, Frank, Northern Trust, it's like my Super Bowl. You know, anytime it comes to town, I usually just take a week off.
Especially when it comes to Paramus.
Paramus, yes, literally 15-minute drive. You know, it's a no-brainer. So today was day two for me. Pretty cool. I actually got there really early. I thought I was going to miss Tiger's press conference because they sent out this notification overnight that it was moving up from 11 to 9. I wanted to be there. I wanted to hear what he had to say, you know, up close and personal. It's a cool experience. You don't get to experience that often, you know, if at all. So, you know,
then they bumped it back for an ice bath.
Yeah, hit it for another ice bath. Exactly. But, you know, it was really cool to hear him talk. He was totally down to earth, like stuff like, I haven't played Ridgewood in a long time and I need to do my homework. You know, rain's coming tomorrow. He's like, I don't know if I'm going to go driver. There's a lot of crazy rough out there. However, because you and I experienced it, right? Now this rough, wait till you see it, Frank. It's even worse because it's wet.
Yeah. And it's super true that he hasn't played in a long time because he was out last time they came around in 2014.
Right. So I don't think it was there. I think it was 2010 or something.
It says roughly every 3-4 years in the rotation. Right. Mm-hmm. But and you know what? This one holds like kind of a special place for us because we got a chance to play Ridgewood just a couple weeks ago. Like you said, as the grandstands were going up, we got to feel that challenge. Right. So it's always, I think you always get a little bit more of a connection to it when you've actually played the course. But it looks gorgeous. And I'm looking forward to it. I'll be out there with you on Thursday. So we're going to be trying to catch up. I saw you ran into a couple of fans of the show today.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. A lot of shout outs from people who just, you know, Golficity, love the stuff, love the podcast, you know, love the videos. So that was really cool to see. I didn't get to catch up with Molinari yet. I've been looking for him the first 2 days. I know we'll probably catch him probably tomorrow. I think I'm going to reach because everyone's probably going to be there tomorrow for the Pro-Am. Weather doesn't look too great, but I hope to get over there. I just want to grab him for a couple minutes and just talk to him, see how he's feeling. He's playing well. Maybe I could just grab something for the podcast if I could bring you all. That'd be kind of cool if I can get that footage, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes tomorrow. And then actually tomorrow, Frank, I'm doing the Pro-Am, and then you and I are going into the city. This is actually pretty cool.
This is
going
to be fun.
We're meeting back up with Eric Anders Lang and a couple of folks from Golf Digest, among some other, I guess, surprise names that we don't know, at True Spec, right in Manhattan in Midtown. Mm-hmm. So they're just throwing a little party there. I think Eric's doing an episode for his podcast.
Yep.
And we're just going to kind of rub some elbows, meet some new friends, and have a couple things to eat and drink and see what it's all about.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And like you said earlier, we're going to drop our own interview with Eric next week on the podcast. But I tell you what, I had a lot of fun getting a chance to hang out with him. Because as I told him there, I'm like, listen, I'm a very, you know, very much legit fan of what you're doing. I've really enjoyed, you know, his Adventures in Golf series. And I've been looking forward to, you know, there's been a lot of hype around it for the last 3 years about his Be the Ball documentary. We'll obviously talk about that more next week, but it's stuff that I can relate to because I really like A, what he's doing with Adventures in Golf, where he's bringing the stories of this game. Not, you know, there's so much to this game. It's why we love it. So he's bringing those different stories about different places and people and the way they play the game, and Be the Ball, bringing that mental game meditation piece. I've talked about it a little bit here on the show, but I've been, you know, practicing meditation for the past 5 years. It's been a huge game changer for me inside and outside the game of golf, just in life in general. So anytime I see that, I want to find out more about people having similar experiences. So I'm looking forward to that. Let's talk real quick about the virtual open. Yes. So really great stuff here. And I've been enjoying everyone talking about their rounds, posting some pictures in the Facebook group. If you guys aren't already a member of that group, it's 100% free. Hop in there, join it. I say this week in and week out, but I think it's important because every week we get, you know, new people coming in there, and I love it, especially when we get these new members. They introduce themselves and just talk a little bit about their game, what they do, what they're learning, and then inevitably, like, you know, a couple weeks later, people will post some different milestones, breaking 100 for the first time, 90, whatever it is. That makes my day. Love seeing that. So keep that coming. So one, I definitely want a shout out here. T. Koopman. I believe his first name is Tom. Am I correct?
I believe so. Yes.
Right. Cause I see him. He's very active in the Facebook group. In fact, I remember when he posted this round. But his, let's see what he had here. He had a gross 63, 9 under 63 for a net 59, which is tremendous. Let me see if I can, I like in the 18 Birdies app, you can kind of dive in a little bit so you can see a little bit about it. So I see he played it at Shoreline golf course. Let's see here. This is a par 72.
He had 4 birdies on the front 9, and then he had 3 more on the back with an eagle, and no bogeys on the day.
No bogeys on the card. Legit, like crazy good round. And then we had Eric. I'm assuming it's Eric. I shouldn't say that, but it's E. Hurt. I apologize if first name is not Eric. He had a gross 7 under 65. Let's see. I'm not sure what the net is because it looks like he might be a scratch. So I'll look through that in a second. Mm-hmm. So another great round that we saw here. This was played at Stone Ridge Golf Course. Par 72, shot a 65. Wow. Really tremendous. And then let's see. Underneath that, we've got R. Curley, gross 68, 4 under. And then D. Hovis, we've got a 3 under 69. And then if we jump over to the net scores, let's see here. We've got in first place, you know, as I said, in both of them was T. Koopman. Then we've got D. Cowell with a 11 under 61 net, 18 handicap. So that's really great. Really outpacing the handicap there.
Check out the 12th place, Jay Blake on the gross. Look at his course there. Would that be the same?
Let's see, Jay.
It looks like par 4, par 5, first two holes.
Wow, that's my track right there, West Hills.
So you got someone in house. You got to go find this guy.
I gotta go find Jay Blake.
It looks like he's part. Yeah, it looks like a 4-5, right? And you end on the 3. Yeah, that's it.
That's it, man.
He lit it up.
He did. He beat me out there. That's for sure. 71 is a really solid score there. And I tell you
what, is he the course pro?
No, but 18 got him, and it gets me. Let me tell you something. I have got such a mental block for 18 right now that I just can't. I just can't score on it.
It's a hard par 3.
It really is.
It's a long par 3.
It's a long par 3, and then once it gets in your head, you know, it shouldn't be as hard as I make it, but it just got me. Mm-hmm. Hey, a little bit further down the list, I see your buddy Greg.
There's Double G there, yeah. He had a stellar round there. He shot even par at Montclair. That he logged that round as part of his, I guess, New Jersey senior amateur. So that was pretty cool.
70, yep. And he's a plus one handicap. I mean, incredible golfer. We're gonna be playing with him at Baltusrol soon. So I'm looking forward to that. And am I right that he's, I think, one win away from playing in the Masters?
Yeah. Yeah, he's got an event down in, I think, Charlotte in the fall. He says if you win that, you get into the Masters.
Greg, that I would want be to see so your cool. name on that amateur leaderboard at the Masters.
Yes,
that would be something to see.
That would be something. Frank, can you cue the Jeopardy music while I scroll down to my score?
You've got time, right?
I got some time, yeah. Man. Wow. You know, when I first did it, I did it early on. So I think I shot an 88, which was, you know, that's an average score. It's a better than average score for me, actually. And I remember at the time I was like T32 or T24 was exciting.
Yeah.
And then everyone started piling into this thing and I still haven't found myself. Here I am, 127th with an 88.
and I'm T107 with D Edwards.
There you go, man. I can look at all these courses all day.
Shot an 86. Yeah. And look, I love it. Like I said, this just keeps growing year over year. We had 415 players this year, which is up. I got to look at the numbers, but it's up a bit from last year. It's a fun time. You know, the prizes are really the icing for this, which we're going to have all those prizes, you know, announced and posted soon. We're just working on finalizing some of those with the prize sponsors, but, that to me is the icing. The real fun is this, getting to see it, getting to get people out there, play. It's like this semi-competitive kind of fun thing that we do every year. So I really enjoy it. It's a fun one. And I'm looking forward already to next year. And we've already been talking about doing some smaller ones. Some of the people in the Facebook group have been talking about doing their own like little mini virtual opens, which is really great. Maybe one day we'll do one just for the Facebook group, something like that. But it's just a great thing we have going every year, right?
Yeah, I can't wait. I like it. It's fun.
It is. All right. Before we, I want to do a word from our sponsors in a minute. Then I want to jump into our main topic about, you know, getting those golf clubs clean the right way and doing it the right way. But before we do, I also want to just thank everybody who's been subscribing to our YouTube channel. As you guys may know, it's kind of a newer channel for us. I know we've had the channel since I think 2014, but we only started posting the videos, about a year ago. And that came from you guys, especially in the group and emailing us and contacting us through social and saying, I want to see a little bit more, not just hear you guys every week. So we're like, let's bring the cameras with us when we go out there and play. And that's been so much fun. Up to, I think it's like, as of this recording, is about 4,500 subscribers, and growing fast. So thank you everyone who subscribed. We're putting the podcast on there now, so you can see it a little bit more visually. And we've got some great stuff coming up in the next couple months. We're going to be great course vlogs for you and anything else that we can bring, you know, that to you guys. So if you're not already subscribed there, make sure you subscribe and also make sure you follow us on all the social networks. We get that behind the scenes stuff. Like I was digging it today. Even I was watching the Golf City story. You had the takeover today, Mike.
Yep.
And seeing that behind the scenes at Ridgewood was a lot of fun. So that's all great stuff. And as always, the Golf City app. Check it out. Go to golfcity.com/app. And with all this stuff, guys, remember, we bring all of this to you 100% free. The Facebook group is free. The app is free. I mean, not a penny. We don't charge. Android, iOS. You know, we try to give back as much as we can with our sponsors. They're the ones who help keep the lights on because it takes a lot to keep all this work and produce all this content for you guys. So we always appreciate and give special thanks to our sponsors. But as I said, for you guys, we want to keep it free. We want to keep being able to deliver on this and give you guys as much as we can. Really quickly, speaking of sponsors, this week's episode is sponsored by Titleist. So Mike, and kind of talking about the videos, by the way, on the YouTube channel, our full bag fitting at Sleepy Hollow, the one we did with Kevin Sprecher.
Yeah.
Can you believe that video is up to over 118,000 views on YouTube? How cool is that?
It's incredible, man.
And listen, I notice a lot of the comments that have been coming through. One of the most common ones is how much does this cost? So let me tell you, it varies widely as far as what the actual equipment costs. But if you want to get involved in this, the best way to do it, you got to check out these Titleist Thursdays. They're free. Free. I mean, let me say that again. They are free. And it's really, it's a unique opportunity for, you know, for any skill level golfer to get that high quality Titleist club fitting with a Titleist product specialist.
Yeah, and I noticed a lot of comments about what clubs do you have access to in these fittings, and essentially that's everything. Yeah. I mean, you know, a lot of people talking about this video, they're saying, well, I only like this product by this company and I only use this company, so they might not be the right ones, you know, for me. Frank, your game, your swing is completely opposite of mine, and we both ended up with our own Titleist clubs that fit our game. So that's the cool part. So you run through all the metals, the irons, the Vokey wedges. You're even going to be hitting the Pro V1s and the Pro V1X golf balls. It's cool. It's like the whole Titleist experience. They have a specialist there. He's equipped with a TrackMan. He makes sure you have the perfect specs for your game. And trust me, there's no – I can't say this loud enough. There's no other confidence booster on the course than knowing that you have the right clubs in your hands. It's changed my game completely. So again, Titleist Thursdays, they're free. Sign up. The one nearest you could visit Titleist.com to learn more. All right, Frank, listen, as a once punk country club worker who used to clean clubs for tips about 20 years ago, and I used to love cleaning clubs and get them clean, you know, let's go back to my roots here, man. I want to talk about this because this is something I don't do now.
That's so funny. The fact that you were cleaning clubs and now you don't for your own clubs. What, did you just wear yourself out? You're just like sick of it?
That's it. That's
it's like exactly a chef it. Who doesn't eat his own food.
right.
But look, hey, the reality is clubs get dirty. And I, you know, I didn't consider this such a big topic or even think about it that much until I started to kind of like be around golf more and find out more like about how top level, you know, golfers treat their equipment. And then I started to realize how important it actually is. And one thing that super opened my eyes to this, Mike, when we were speaking of that fitting with Kevin Sprecher, when we were doing the wedge fitting portion of that, mm-hmm. He had his towel with him and he's just kind of like religiously cleaning them. And that's where I'll never forget this, because he told me, he said, depending on how much dirt is kind of like gets in there, he said, dirt on the face of a wedge can actually change. And he knows this based on the TrackMan numbers, can actually make a difference of anywhere from 1500 to 3500 RPM in spin.
Wow. That's a lot.
It's a lot. And we look at them like, obviously the face of a golf club, it's all regulated by the USGA, like how the grooves can be, how deep the grooves can be, all that type of stuff. But those grooves are really truly what bite into the ball. And that's what you get that spin from. And don't forget, spin isn't just about stopping it on the green. Backspin that's created, you know, when you hit the ball with your irons, unlike with the driver, which kind of pushes the, you know, lifts the ball up in the air the way you hit it. But with your irons, that backspin is actually the aerodynamics of what creates that ball flight that gets it up in the air. So you really need to be able to create that. And the grooves can only just be so deep. So once you start to get that dirt in there and it starts to create like this flat face, there's nothing for it to bite into. And it happens so quickly, it's kind of hard to understand. But if you ever watch those like incredibly slow-mo, you ever see that when a ball, you know, when a golf ball contact with the club and you can't believe almost how much that ball is compressed.
Right.
You know, you see it like it's like squashed down almost to a pancake, but then you start to see it, and that's how that club is actually biting into it. And it's creating that backspin. So once I heard that, and then just starting to be around and see the pros. I know you saw today, the pros, and the caddies never leave the bag, you know, but you see how obsessively the caddies are cleaning those clubs for the tour pros. And that's not just so it looks good on camera. There's a reason for it, you know?
It seems like Joe LaCava, Tiger's caddy today, he was obsessed with cleaning his clubs.
Yeah.
The whole time he was talking to his buddies, he's just one iron after the next, just scrubbing it, cleaning it. And I was just studying that, knowing that we were going to talk about this tonight. I'm like, wow, man, these guys put a lot of pride in keeping those grooves really nice and clean.
Yeah. And there's two factors to it, or two big factors. What I would say is the grooves, like we just mentioned, you really need those clean so you can bite into the golf ball. But the other thing, flip it around, what a lot of people forget about is the grips. Keeping your grips clean, it's going to do a couple things for you. For one, it's going to increase the longevity. Far too many of us wait way too long to replace our grips. And we've talked about this before on the podcast, so I won't dive too deep into it. But the reality is, the grip is so essential because that's really where your body makes contact with that club. So not being able to feel like you have a nice, reliable grip on it, it's going to cause problems. Plus, we talked about this and we really dove into this recently where we talked about how much pressure to hold, you know, the club with. And we talked about it's actually surprisingly how light your grip pressure really needs to be. But as your grips start to wear out, as they get dirty, as they get greasy, you get less and less confidence that you're going to be able to hold it. You start, and this could even be subconscious. It doesn't have to be a dramatic difference. It's not like from like a weak grip to a death grip. It can just be a little bit more pressure that you're subconsciously applying because you've got a dirty grip. And that can really change the way you release the club. It can change a lot of different things. So if you want to have that confidence, and anybody who's pulled out a fresh golf club, you know, when we retooled this year, and we both got the new sets, you know, you notice it immediately when you grab and you got a brand new grip and you just feel so good. It feels like, you know, you just got great control over that club.
Mm-hmm.
And you can keep that going longer if you keep them clean. So you really want to make it a matter of habit to clean your grips. I used to obsess a lot more about cleaning my clubs. I also had a lot more time on my hands back when I was playing high school golf, you know, and I was playing a lot more. I was playing anywhere from 3 to 5 times a week, you know, with practice and with competition. But I would clean my clubs maybe like once a week, like the full process. Mm-hmm. It was kind of fun. Like I was whatever, you know, sitting around watching TV at night, I'd grab a bucket and just kind of go through and do this. Little bit busier now with two little kids running around and everything else that I got going on, you know, trying to grow Golficity to the moon, you know.
Exactly.
But that keeps you a little bit busy, but whatever. I got to get back into it. I got to do it a little bit more regularly, even if it's like once a month. But the one thing that I have been doing, Mike, and I've been doing this since I got the new clubs, I got myself like a really good towel.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's so many out there. I think I'm trying to remember the name, but Eric Benzenberg did a really great article on this, like really great,
other,
that's right.
Is it other?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Golf towels that he did. And they're like, it just like, I like that. Now you're seeing more and more of these niche companies pop up that are just specializing in doing one thing really well. And these guys make awesome towels. But anyway, what I've been doing is trying to get more in the habit of, like you see the PGA Tour players with their caddies do, is just it takes 2 seconds, just wiping down my clubs after each shot. That's something I hadn't done before. All right. And what would happen is it would get so dirty, especially when you're playing with like a cast iron, like I've been, which is like got that like kind of a cavity back. I find I get a lot of like dirt in there, especially playing in those two like transitional seasons, the spring and the fall, when everything is muddy. You know, and then it just kind of gets in there. And then what you don't realize is that can change a lot of different things. I mean, mm-hmm. when we go through fittings, we realize the slightest bit of weight shift, right, which you can do with like a little bit of lead tape can make a huge difference. So don't you think like having a little bit of like dirt caked back there can do like a similar thing?
Yeah, sure.
So what I've been finding is it's generally speaking a lot easier to keep and get your clubs clean if you just take 2 seconds just to wipe them down after you'd shot. And I've been doing it as like kind of like part of my ritual. Like I've been more and more trying to get this feel and this idea of like ritualizing things. Like we talk about like the pre-shot routine and it being like this like ritual that you kind of go through to like kind of set the pace and take some of the mental like stress out of like thinking about the next shot or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to do that like after, like almost like a post shot routine where I clean my club and just kind of like, it lets me just kind of like let that shot go, especially if it was a bad shot, and just start focusing on the next one. It's almost like, I mean, if you want to get really deep with it, it's almost like wiping away that bad shot and just like moving on, you know? Or if it's a great shot, you know, it's like celebratory, giving that club a little love, you know?
I like the way you look at things.
I've been doing it and I like it. And it's better than too. Like previous to that, like my clubs were lucky if they got cleaned. If like at the end of a round, you got like a good, like, you know, cart attendant who would just come over and wipe them down for you. But then you'd realize like by the 18th hole, your clubs look nothing like they did when you teed off on the first. So I'm trying to make sure they stay clean throughout the round. But anyway, just a little bit of a side hack, so to speak. If you just take that 2 seconds, get a good towel, maybe get a little bit wet like you see the caddies do. And then just, you know, after each shot, just give the club a little bit of wipe down. You're going to find that cleaning in general will be a lot easier because there's going to be a lot less caked stuff in the grooves that you've got to take out of there. You know, that makes sense.
Yeah, it does make sense. I played at a club not too long ago. Actually, you and I played at this club. It was that V-par outing a long time ago.
I remember that, yes.
Yeah, really beautiful Tillinghast course, you know, just older club. And the cool little technique, they had a large towel.
Yep.
And half of it was soaking wet and the other half was dry, just wrapped around the side. I loved it.
I picked up some caddy tips during my short stint as a caddy for you at the Pro-Am, and I noticed that. And also the couple times that I've played with caddies, another time was when I played Bethpage Black. Mm-hmm. And I had a caddy who was also a really excellent golfer and a club fitter. What I notice is they'll take a nice big caddy towel, which I have the one from Bay Hill. I still have that in my bag.
Do you really?
Yeah, I do. And what they'll do is before the round, they'll get one side of the towel wet and the other side will stay dry. And just a wet towel will take any of that dirt in there that a dry might not take off. And every time since then, I've noticed when I do play with a caddy that after they take your club from you, they'll just give it that quick wipe.
Yeah, I love
it. So it might just seem like just something that's like a nicety for a tip, but in reality, it's important. And then since then, I've kind of carried it on and I've been doing it myself and it works. So really great stuff. So if you do that, this next process we're going to describe right here will be a lot easier. But otherwise, the good idea, the way to kind of go through this, it's really simple. There's very few things you need. All you need, a small bucket, a large towel, some dish soap, and a brush. Which you could use an old toothbrush. I'm fine with that. They also sell some really cheap, you know, golf brushes on Amazon or wherever, pro shops. You can get them pretty much anywhere. Some of them have like a little bit, they got the wire bristles and the nylon bristles if you need a whatever. But personally, I find that you can get pretty much any dirt out with a little bit wet. So I've even just used like an old toothbrush. That's what I used to use for them. So you can do this like on the super cheap. In other words, there's not much you need to invest here. We're talking about a bucket, a towel, dish soap, and a brush. So really simple. Actually this, we had an article on this on Golficity not too long ago, which I'll link to in the show notes. And we posted that on social, and I think it was in the Facebook group that one person hopped in and actually said, I don't remember if he worked at a golf course or whatever. His little side tip was instead of dish soap, use car wash soap. And he's found that worked better for him. So
interesting.
You know, if you use one or the other, post in the group and let us know. But either way, like I said, plain old dish soap, same if you use in your sink, just put a little bit in there, but just don't overdo it. You don't want to get nuts with it. Just get a little bit in that bucket and you're good. So the actual process, simple. First step, I mean, I'm stating the obvious here, but fill the bucket with water and just put a little bit of that dish soap in it. You don't need to use too much soap, just a little, you know, quick squeeze. You're good to go. I like to just swirl it around, get it going. Then I take all the clubs out of the bag. I line them up longest to shortest, and like to start with the driver. That's just me personally. I mean, you could start the other way, but I just take the driver.
Seems like a ceremony, man.
It's a, you know, it can get to be a ceremony. It's a little, like I said.
Do you light candles for this? I mean,
wow. Incense. I burn some incense. Dude.
This is blowing my mind, but I like it. Keep going.
When I'm doing it. Yes. No, but you know what? I'll do this and I'll just put on the TV, whatever, and just kind of like do it. But you just kind of go through, just first thing, just dip the head of the club that you're cleaning in that water, just swirl it around, get it wet, take it out, wipe it off. I just take that towel that we talked about, wipe it off. If you need to dig in a little bit, if there's some stuck dirt, work on it with that brush like we talked about. The grooves are one spot, but the other thing is, like, especially playing those cavity backs, flip them around. I always like grass gets stuck in there. Sand is always like a little bit of sand stuck in there. So the water will loosen all that up. And then you just kind of, you work on that, just use that brush a little bit. But here's the other part that people forget. After you've done that, you've wiped it off, you got that dirt off. Don't forget this crucial part. Flip it around, wipe down the grip. Now's the time to get that grip clean. And you'd be surprised at how much you can breathe life back into grips just with a simple wipe down. So you take that towel that we're talking about, and just like the caddy does on the course, you dip, one side, keep one side dry for drying off the clubs, keep one side wet, just dip it in. You don't have to like absolutely soak it, because you don't want to soak your grips. The last thing you want to do is soak. Don't turn your clubs around and stick those grips in the bucket. All right. Just want to take it wring it out nice and damp. And then you just want to scrub up and down that grip. Just kind of like take any of those oils from your hands, any of that dirt off. We all get like dirt on our hands from fixing, divots, whatever it may be throughout the day. That gets on your grips. You just want to wipe that off. And then another key thing, you know, a lot of this might seem like common sense, but a lot of people forget about this. Take those clubs, just like I talked about, lining them up, line them back up and set them out to dry a little bit. Don't just go throwing them right back in your bag, especially if those grips did get a little bit wet. You want to have, give them a chance to breathe a little bit, let them dry off, and then you'll be back in business. So then you just work your way through your clubs, 14, I don't know. If you're like Mike and you've got 16 clubs or
right, exactly.
Whatever, work through them, let them dry. You're good to go. I as far as timing goes, I like to do that once a month, but it really depends on how often you're playing. And if you, and like I said, if you do that little tip I said and just kind of keep them clean while you're out there, you won't have to clean them as often. But if you go out there in your garage, you grab your sticks and you notice they're hurting, it might be time for a bath. And you'd be surprised, like I said, how much life you can kind of breathe back into them with just a good, quick cleaning.
Yeah, I like it. And if you're fortunate enough, you got someone who waits when you're done in the 18th to clean your clubs for you, you throw them a couple bucks, that's cool too. That probably can last you to the next round, I'm sure, as
that's
well.
That's good stuff. But like I said, you're usually just going to get a wipe down. You know,
yeah,
I
think
every once in a while, you got to get this. You got to get that dip. Dip it in the bucket and go for it.
Just tell it. Come on, man. Dip it.
And you know what? You really found yourself a special, you know, cart attendant or whatever you want to call it.
Right.
If they wipe down your grips, that doesn't really happen.
Yeah.
But so, and that's easy. You even if you want, if you don't want to go through the whole ritual, just every once in a while, just grab a towel, dampen half, you know, one side of it, wipe down the grips, you know what I mean? Dry them and you don't have to do the whole thing. But I like the ritual, man.
Yeah, the rituals. Yeah, I see a video coming to YouTube soon.
Yeah, we're gonna have to be one of those ones that we speed it up because
Frank's club cleaning ritual. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, I could see it.
All right, try it. Look, like I said, pretty simple process, but there's a couple things in there that I wanted to hit on because I think they're important, and I wanted to hit on the idea of just keeping them clean in general, because you just get more out of your equipment that way. But if anybody has their own tips, anything like that, anything special you do. Maybe you got a special soap that's just killer and you wanted to share it with the rest of us. Do so by, you know, posting in the Facebook group, or if you're watching this on YouTube, post it in the comments below, because I love seeing them. And I always like I said, you know, we're learning this game too. I like learning from you guys. I take those tips and I very often will put them into play. So good stuff. Keep that coming. That's all I have for the instruction. Mike, you have anything else?
I've got nothing else. I got to get to sleep. Back to Ridgewood tomorrow, man. Early, very early.
Before we wrap this up, can I quickly tell you about a crazy par that I made?
Yeah.
Okay, so get this. Having like the worst round of the season. It's that one round of the season that's just abysmal, right? I had that last weekend. Just disgusting. It was so bad. But the last hole, I'm sorry, the 17th hole, get this par. Now, this is a tough hole. The 17th hole, West Hills. You've got it's a short par four.
Blind shot
into the green. You can't hit driver off the tee because you'll end up in the creek. It rolls down to the creek. You've got to hit less than driver. And then you've got to hit a nice, well-placed shot into the fairway. And then you've got to hit a nice, well-placed shot into this two-tiered undulating, very difficult green. And if you go, it's so pitched towards you that if you go up past the hole, putting down back towards it, there's always a danger of going completely off the green. It's that challenging. Mm. So I always struggle with this hole, but whatever. I'm playing like dirt, right? So off the tee, I hit my hybrid, which I've been hitting incredibly well, but that day I couldn't hit anything in the bag. So just throw that out the window for a second. I yanked this thing so far left, like this ridiculous hook that ends up in the fairway on 18. Okay. So I'm in the fairway on 18 all the way to the left.
Uh-huh.
And that's dramatically down this huge hill.
Yes.
Right. Uh-huh. So now I'm in this thing. I can't see the green. All I see is this 30 feet of elevation change in front of me, trees everywhere. I have no shot at the green. So I even have a tricky punch shot just to punch it laterally, directly right to try to get back to the fairway. But that's what I'm going to try to do, right? And I'm like trying to weave it between all these trees. Like I'm telling you, it's like this is the definition of blocked out is what I was. Uh-huh. I hit it, it goes up and it gets knocked down and it goes straight down and stuck underneath a tree.
Oh,
so
no.
Now I didn't even make it to the fairway, but I made it up to the top of the hill, the 30-foot incline.
Okay.
I'm at the top of that hill under a tree. I can see the green. It's 100 and I, this is with a 7-iron. I just punched the 7-iron up to try to like punch it because I couldn't go too high because the trees. I had to like go under the trees but still go up this elevation. Long story short, I got the 7-iron still in my hands. Now I'm 150 yards out. I can see the green, but I'm kind of under this tree where I've got to like shorten up like down to like the like almost holding like the metal, like down past I'm clubbing down to past the grip. And I'm just going to hit a punch shot.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I hit this punch shot so money. It flies all the way, lands in the middle of the green. The pin's in the back, rolls all the way up to 5 feet from the pin.
Wow. Wow.
Right? So this is why I say never say die, right?
Scramble eggs.
So
yes.
I got two terrible shots and I'm now lying two under a tree, right? But I get that thing. I felt like Tiger. You know, it's just mm-hmm. piecing this thing together. And I drained the 5-foot putt for par.
Wow.
And everybody I'm playing with is like, that has got to be the most ridiculous way I've ever seen anyone make par. Because you
That's
had to see
incredible.
This tee shot. This tee shot was an embarrassment. I mean, it was like a big hook shot all the way. I'm talking all the way to the 18th fairway. And then, like I said, that punch shot just caught, like it didn't even make it back to the fairway. It gets stuck under a tree.
Yeah, so. That's nuts. I'm surprised you didn't have any chance to go for that green down there. You no just chance. Aim more towards the 18 tee box and try to
no,
high cut it in.
It's all protected by trees. It's all protected by trees there. The trees line it all the way down.
All There's the way
no
down.
Way, no way to get up and over that.
And you flew the creek from the punch shot.
Yeah.
You got it. Wow. Good for you.
I'll tell you what. That's why I learned something from that. And that's why I try to say look for the good takeaway.
Right.
It was a terrible round. I want to forget the rest of the day, but I'm going to remember that. So I just like lock that in and be like, that's what you got to do. You got to remember stuff like that. But it also taught me like never, ever say die out there because it really only takes one great shot.
Yeah.
And you're right back in it. We had a similar situation. We were playing a par three and we play like kind of skins and stuff like that, or we'll, you know, play teams, whatever. And we had three of us on the green on the par three or close to it. Everybody's either chipping or whatever. But it's a huge green, so all very difficult, even two putts or chipping putts from where we are. And we had one of the guys we're with shanks it off the tee, goes like almost nowhere. But he gets up on his second shot and he hits a 60-degree wedge about 70 yards and puts it 2 inches from the pin.
Wow.
He was the only one who walked out of there with par.
Yep.
So it just shows you, like, don't never say die. Just stick with it. Even if you hit a horrible shot, don't let it be that snowball going downhill. Just stick with it. Just keep trying to make shots. And you never know. It takes one shot to turn everything around.
Yeah, dude. I wish you were chanting that on the third hole at Bay Hill. You kind of were a little bit and broke me out of it. But I love the advice.
Yeah.
I love it. It's great.
So that was a good one. I want to share that with everybody. All right. Anyway, I could talk about that all day, but let's wrap it up. Thank you everybody again for listening or watching. If you're watching this on YouTube, you can get to the show notes for this week by going to golfficity.com/episode233 or check it out in the Golficity app. You know, you'll see at the bottom podcast, just hit that. Every podcast episode is going to be there. Just check out 233. We'll put all the show notes, everything we talked about, and we'll see everybody again next week.